So, who do they say lifted the Dow over the 22,000 mark yesterday? Apple. Who's sitting on the biggest pile of cash in the stock market? Apple. Who, at 41 years old, is surging more like a new startup? Some say, yep, Apple. Joining me now from San Francisco to talk about that is Alex Webb, technology reporter for Bloomberg News. His beat is Apple. Alex, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi there. Delightful to be with you.
So what happened this week with Apple that got so much noise around its performance?
I mean, ultimately with Apple, what investors look at is always, you know, as with any company, the forward projection. And there had been fear that heading into the next quarter, things might be a little bit ropey. Their top-line product is, of course, the iPhone. The iPhone accounts for two-thirds of their revenue. And they tend to update that every 2 years. Now, this year, they are going to come up with a 10th-year anniversary version, which is supposed to be hugely advanced on the previous iteration. And there were some problems in the supply chain, which suggest that it's going to be a little bit late. So it wouldn't, therefore, contribute substantially to next quarter's earnings. When I say next quarter, I mean the quarter we're in right now, which ends at the end of September. The numbers which they released earlier this week showed that perhaps things aren't going to be as bad as people had expected, and inevitably the investors got very excited.
Walk us through the numbers, just how big the Apple fortune is now, the Apple cash hoard, the kind of projections that they're making here, how much Apple's raking in all the time.
So Apple has now a cash and cash equivalents a hoard of upwards of $260 billion, and 94% of that is offshore. And that's also kind of a big consideration when you look at the stock performance, because people are expecting that the administration is able to bring in some tax reforms, which make it easier to bring that offshore cash back to the U.S., and in whose pockets is that money likely to land? Well, investors. But Apple is able to do a sort of 20% profit, net profit margin on its earnings, which is a huge figure and almost unparalleled in any other company of this size, with revenue of this size, I should say. That, of course, creates problems, in some ways a rod for their own back. You know, how do they continue with that kind of growth and profitability? And that's what's created some of the doubts in the past 18 months or so.
People look at their value now overall compared to other companies currently and in history. What's Apple look like?
Well, Apple is valued at it's about $850 billion at the moment, which is clearly a staggering number. But by other measures, it isn't valued that optimistically. Apple's valued, differs over the past few months, but between 12 and 16 times earnings. Now, if you compare that to Amazon, Amazon's valued at sort of 180 times earnings. And that's because investors are a lot more optimistic about the way that Amazon's going to develop in the years to come compared to Apple. So there are some investors who even say that Apple is a value stock because they see a lot more growth potential than perhaps other parts of the market recognize.
That 94% of that cash hoard that's offshore, why are they keeping it abroad? Or that $260 billion?
It comes down to tax. You know, if you repatriate money from offshore, at the moment you've got to pay a 35% tax rate. Apple does not want to do that. And with debt so incredibly cheap at the moment, they're able to finance all of their needs inside the U.S. with debt. They've got, I think it's close to $90 billion in debt at the moment. I might have to check those numbers, but it's a huge number. And, of course, they don't need to do anything to repatriate that money with that debt so readily available. Now, there has been a certain amount of controversy, of course, about having all that money offshore. There was people might have followed the tax bill, which Ireland has been forced to impose on Apple by the European Union because they feel that Apple is not paying the right amount of tax anywhere. Apple disputes that. Apple says, you know, the moment they bring that money back to the U.S., they will be taxed on it. And therefore, you know, they should be taxed in the place where they're based.
They're forecasting $49 billion to $52 billion revenue for the current quarter. That's a lot of money. How much of that is iPhone-based, and what about the next iPhone model? What's anticipated?
So the iPhone kind of represents or generates between 60 and 65% of their revenue typically. Now, in the summer period, the months through to June, it's typically a little bit more fallow. The iPhone does about 54%, and that's because customers tend to wait for the next model. They're keeping their wallet in their pocket, mm-hmm. waiting for the next blockbuster. Now, the Christmas quarter and the last few weeks of September, which is when the iPhone is typically released, that's when it really starts to go ballistic and stratospheric in terms of the sales. The next iPhone, we've reported this, you know, it's quite hard to dig into Apple and their supply chain and find what's coming, but all of our sourcing says there are going to be three iPhones. Two of them are going to be updates to the current versions, the 7 and the 7 Plus. We'll call this potentially the 7S and the 7S Plus, and will be similar form factors, some improvements perhaps in camera ability and memory and battery life. But the big one is what people are tentatively calling the iPhone 8. That's the 10th anniversary version of the iPhone. It's going to have a different kind of screen technology, which is more energy efficient and requires no backlight, and so there's more clever stuff they can do inside the phone because they've created a bit more space. Also, it's going to have a 3D sensor on the front. What that means is you'll be able to lift your phone up, it'll recognize you and unlock automatically. You won't need to push your thumb on the fingerprint scanner because there will be no fingerprint scanner. And the 3D sensor, unlike Samsung, which also has done some facial recognition stuff, the Samsung thing, it just photographs your face, essentially. The 3D sensor will measure the depth of your face. How big is your nose? How big are your eye sockets? That sort of stuff. And be able to then tell for certain that it's you and not just a photo of you.
Price tag?
It's going to be above $1,000. Some people are speculating even as much as $1,200. Now, that is a lot of money, clearly. But it isn't also as big a jump from the current pricing as people might suspect. The highest specification iPhone at the moment is about $950. So that's the 7 Plus with all the memory options, all of the battery life you can want. So it's only sort of a hop, skip, and a jump then to a phone priced above $1,000.
We read that Apple has agreed with Beijing to cut privacy elements of its technology in China for Chinese consumers. Do they pay any penalty for that in terms of the markets?
I don't think so, no. I mean, if anything, the market's probably more likely to reward them. You know, because Apple's treading a very fine path in China. They do not want to annoy the regulators there. But Tim Cook was very keen on the call to make the point that there are still a lot of VPN apps. These are apps which let you perhaps evade the Chinese regulators, available on the Chinese App Store. And that's why they're treading the balance between keeping consumers happy but also not annoying the Chinese regulators.
Apple on the big up this week and helping propel the Dow Jones average above 22,000. Alex Webb covers it all for Bloomberg News and joined us today from San Francisco. Alex, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Check it out, and you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm on Twitter at Tom Ashbrook, NPR. Thanks for joining us today. This is On Point. ¶¶